Thank you very much indeed, Ms. Colomb, for those generous words. And to Madam Chairman, delegates, and fellow Americans, unaccustomed as I am to being a non-candidate, I greet you tonight as the only non-candidate I know on this program. This is a strange role for me. I've tried to get your nomination for 16 years. I've waged primary fights, platform battles, and convention contests, and I've enjoyed it. Thank you. I hope it has helped this party, and more particularly, helped this America. But I claim no record for my longtime effort. The Olympic honors for the Republican presidential marathon remain with our good friend, Harold Stassen. Harold, come out, come out. Where are you? Now, one of our pundits commented on my futile quest for the nomination, referring to me as always the Republican bridesmaid, but never the bride. Now, that's just not me, ladies and gentlemen. I've always wanted to be the groom. But somehow I never could get to the church on time. Being a non-candidate, however, does not mean that I'm not concerned. I am concerned. I'm concerned about this Republican Party. I'm concerned about America. I'm concerned about equal opportunity for all Americans. I'm concerned with a world in which human dignity is recognized and fostered. Thank you. And I'm also concerned that Americans do not understand or appreciate the contributions of President Ford and his administration to this nation and the world. Ford took the presidency in the worst constitutional crisis this country had since the Civil War. By calm, deliberate, and open actions, and by sheer guts, he kept this nation from being torn apart at the seams. And if it took a football player who played center without a helmet to pull us through, I say, thank God we've had him to lead the team. my friends, the easiest thing, my friends, thank you. Just want to be sure we're all friends. The easiest thing is a president can do with an appropriation bill is to sign it. Some group is always after more federal money. Worthy causes for federal dollars are endless. But you can't keep pumping money out. More federal dollars that are coming in without a disaster. Jerry Ford had the intelligence and the courage to say no. Ladies and gentlemen, to use the veto as the constitutional fathers intended it, to protect the interests of the majority, all of the people, against the special interests of the pressure groups. Right. And contrary to what you've heard, out of Madison Square Garden, the Ford administration not only held down inflation, but raised the number of jobs in this country to its all-time high. And ladies and gentlemen, these are real jobs, not made work. Jerry Ford took office when we were involved in a war the Democrats produced. This had not only cost us dearly in lives in the fighting in Southeast Asia, but divided our people at home. It was a Republican administration that got us out of the Vietnam debacle. And it was President Ford who took the firm action thereafter that restored the respect of friends and allies and potential foes as well throughout the world. And as we Baptists would say, brothers and sisters, that took some doing. It's time to stop downgrading America. It's time to stop disparaging our special governmental structure. And it's time to stop running down our enterprise system that has made America great. This nation has given more people more opportunity than any nation in history. It's a unique amalgam of individuals from virtually every race, every color, every creed, every culture in this world. The spirit of this great country has been based, but not alone on mutual tolerance of differences, but also on dynamic partnership of these diverse elements. This has produced a sum total of human benefit greater than the individually contributed parts could ever have achieved. Now, in this bicentennial year, let us remember that the Declaration of Independence was just as much a clarion call for individual economic freedom as it was a manifesto for political liberty. The founding fathers knew from bitter experience that economic freedom is essential for political liberty, and that political liberty is essential for economic freedom. That we can't have one without the other. Both are essential for individual human dignity. The proper role for the government in our society is to help people help themselves. Not to legislate, regulate, and dominate virtually every aspect of their lives. Yet we are constantly being pushed into more and more legislated, bureaucratic red tape. Your Republican administration is fighting it, moving towards simplified regulations in the public's interest. Now, on the other hand, if you add up the Democratic platform pledges and the programs of the Democratic candidate, not only could they increase the federal deficit from anywhere from $100 billion to $200 billion, but talk about red tape. They could denude the forests to produce the supplies for their paperwork. And they would have to put the whole state of Virginia into the District of Columbia to house all of the bureaucrats. This shows how desperately this nation needs a strong and vigorous two-party system. Thank you. Frankly, this Republican Party of ours has been shrinking, not growing, and it's time to face up to this reality. We know we can have a broad-based appeal. We have won four out of the last seven presidential elections. But we did it with candidates and with campaigns that appealed to the broad spectrum of American populace, not a narrow few. This Republican Party can grow. The nation requires it to do so. It must expand, gain adherents, and not repel them. We must reach out to all groups in our society, all regions of this land. Every problem America faces today is an opportunity, and at no period in history have the opportunities been greater than they are today. If we but have the vision and the courage to grasp them, we can build an America of opportunity for all people to achieve what their capacities, their talents, and ambitions can produce. If the Republican Party is to be a viable potential political force, we must seize these opportunities. I hope for a new spirit of unity and vigorous program from this Republican convention. The Republican Party needs this, and more importantly, the nation needs it. If you don't believe me, read the Democratic platform with its pussyfooting prose. Or try to figure out where the Democratic candidate stands on the issues. You know, he really belongs on that TV program called What's My Line? Here's a fellow that one time calls himself a Georgia redneck. And just last week in Washington, at Ralph Nader's shindig, believe it or not, he tried to pass himself off as one of the Nader Day saints. My message to all Republicans is, let's expose the Democrats' double talk. Let's tell the people like it is. Let's give them straight talk, the facts. Let's tell them what we have done, what we will do, and what it'll mean to every American now and in the future. Let's carry to the people an imaginative, a compassionate, a realistic, and a sound program for these difficult but exciting years ahead. Let's do it here and now. And we're going to win a great victory in November. Thank you very much.